This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy design, impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
It's time for the Bobby Bones Post Show. Here's your host, Bobby Bones.
It's some bullsh.
What? You getting scammed?
I think so. I think I just got a scam alert email. Like right when I was coming on.
What does it say?
I don't know. Scam alert! Scam alert! Okay, so this is why it doesn't make sense. It's from Microsoft Account Security Notification. Your account is set to close on 4/28/2023. Dear Bobby, your account, blah, 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 at iCloud.com is scheduled to be closed due to account inactivity. The problem is, iCloud and Microsoft are not the same thing.
No.
Right.
But also, how would they just know an email address of mine? If you want to keep your account, it says just sign in, learn more, click here. Are they just wanting me to click there? Because why would the Microsoft team be messaging me about an iCloud?
Does it say iCloud or just cloud?
No, it says iCloud.
Then yeah, don't click it.
And it's from account-security-no-reply dash. Hey, Mike, look at this. Tell me if you think this one's good. I feel like just going, you know what, guys? No, I don't fall for it. Just clicking it because they deserve it.
And just see what happens.
Because they worked hard enough. What do you think about that? He clicks here.
Yeah, it looks scammy.
Does it? It's really good, though.
Yeah, formatting looks weird.
Do you need me to vet it?
No, Amy.
Amy knows the scam.
We just Costanza it. Amy goes, whatever she says, we do the opposite. She goes, yeah, no, it's all good. All right, that means it's a scam.
Dude, this is getting crazy. Like
how good they're getting?
This is just too much.
Yeah. But that's the point, right?
Yeah, but like, should we just start focusing more on this?
No, I say get off the grid. I say less technology.
Yeah, right. You can't do that. Yeah,
no,
right.
For you guys. I'm so good. Yeah. I'm saying the same. This is Jill from Amarillo, Texas, and her two daughters on the voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Molly, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. I'm Anna.
And we have a request for you. They are going to be in a talent show, and they want to do you and Eddie's fanny pack song. But we really need the music without the vocal. So is there any way that you could help us out with that? And I will send you a video of them performing fanny pack.
That is interesting because we don't have that, but I can probably just send a message to Jim who produced the song, right?
Probably get it. Yeah.
He probably has. Let me just do this real quick. Okay, here we go.
Does that cost money?
What do you mean?
Like the rights to that music?
Well, it's ours.
And they're not making money off of it.
And also, we should have an instrumental version up anyway. It's not a big deal. Could you just make more money off of it if it plays and people stream it? But hey, dude, Bobby here. Do you know somebody asked if we had an instrumental version to Fanny Pack because their kids wanted to perform in a talent show on the air? Do you have that without the vocals that I could send them? You'd be the only person. Let me know. Thanks. So I guess we'll see.
All right.
Just send a voicemail. You know, I like sending voicemails. I hate getting them. hate getting them.
Yeah, but the reason you send them is why we send them back to you. You're driving.
It's convenient.
Am I driving right now?
No, no, you're not. But, you know, that's the only time I send them.
You're it's part of a thing, and you can people can hear you.
I hear you, but I think some people think I want to get them back because I send them.
Not the case.
Not at all. And I try not to send them if I'm not. Sometimes I'll click the microphone, and you can talk, and then say, you know, I'm here, period. I'll meet you out front in 30 minutes, period. And it's really good at taking what you're saying, for the most part, like 95% accuracy. They've gotten really good at that, even with an accent. And so I sent a friend of mine who's a little older a message where I held down that, right? I was driving. I'm like, hey, man, da, da, da. And he sends one back. He's like, I've never used this before, period. And he's saying it out. He's recording himself.
But same
he's,
period.
Yeah, but he's going, yeah, and I got your message, period. Where do you mean to meet you, question mark?
That's awesome.
And I'm like, no. That's not really it. Here is Kendra from Houston, Texas.
Morning, studio. I just wanted to call to say that I love you guys. I listen to y'all's show all the time. I listen to the podcast, the post show, everything. I just want to say that I love you guys.
Thank you. Very nice of you. Mike D saw Cocaine Bear over.
Oh, I bet so it was dumb. Awesome.
It looks so dumb.
It's so dumb, but it's so awesome.
So what's the premise?
That's it. The bear finds cocaine in the forest, kills a bunch of people, and there's drug dealers trying to get the cocaine back.
So they're trying to find and kill the bear?
Oh, no. The bear just gets in their way.
The bear does it.
The bear does the cocaine.
I know, but the bear's not continuing to do it. Well, sort of. There's some bear that got into a cocaine, but not all of this happened.
Yeah, the bear died immediately.
Yeah, the bear died immediately in the quote true story. Yeah,
the real dealer died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you'll fall for anything, huh?
What do you think the bear
He's
went
telling
like
all
on
his
a...
friends? Oh, man.
Yes, dude. I really,
it's a documentary.
I really, Scam alert.
I thought the bear got addicted, and so then he was trying to break into houses to find some. No. Like, I thought that was a
bear went to rehab.
Yeah. So how long is this? It can't be that long.
An hour and a half. That's all you need.
Is that even too long?
No, it's perfect.
So how does it start?
It starts with a drug dealer who is smuggling all the cocaine. The plane's about to go down, so he dumps it all in this part in the forest. And then you have these intertwining characters where drug dealers are trying to go find the cocaine that they dumped. Carrie Russell's daughter got lost in the forest. There's a cop trying to get the drug dealers, and then they all come together.
And you liked it?
It was good. If you like bloody, gory movies with
but
some comedy.
Funny, though? Was it funny, bloody, gory?
It's comedic. Like, it's so over the top that it's funny.
It's also weird that there would be a mainstream movie with cocaine in the title.
It's really weird. Like, I mean, I get the, fact the that premise.
Yeah, and it's funny. But I mean, we're old fogies, whatever.
No, it's like the kids. They're watching it too. It comes out.
I don't even
know
what cocaine was.
Right.
I've never seen cocaine even now as an adult. But I'm saying I definitely didn't know what it was enough for it to be the title of a movie.
I know, it's weird.
Like a mainstream movie that people are laughing with.
And you know Hollywood had that conversation. Like, should we name it that? Like,
it's a sexy title.
Yeah,
no,
it does. And I saw it made like $25 million or something.
That's good for a movie like this.
Yeah. Who's in it? Carrie Russell?
Carrie Russell, Ice Cube's son is in it. And then Ray Liotta. It's his last movie before he died.
Oh, wow.
He got killed by the bear?
Yeah, dude. Cocaine deal gone wrong. Oh. Yeah. Okay, so you rate it. You rate it what?
I'd give it 3.5 out of 5. Duffel bags.
I thought it'd be higher than that.
That's about as high as this movie can go.
But you loved it.
But the expectation wasn't high, was it?
No, I kind of did because I thought I liked these kind of movies, so I had higher expectation.
What's better, this or Sharknado? They feel like the same type of movie to me.
Oh, Cocaine Bear has to be better.
Yeah, Cocaine Bear is better. Sharknado is like so ridiculous. It's kind of like you laugh at it just because it's so ridiculous.
Cocaine Bear's not so ridiculous. Yeah.
It has more substance. It's a little bit more grounded.
So this is better than Sharknado?
Oh, yeah.
I always felt bad for those sharks. Like, literally, they're just taken out of the water and thrown on the land.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to try to eat people.
Yeah, what
would
you do?
They're trying to survive.
Exactly.
And this Cocaine Bear, listen, if I got a taste, maybe I would too.
Mike, did you ever see that movie with the alligators? Like, it flooded during a hurricane and the alligators were, like, taking over the town?
Meth Gator.
No.
The Lake Placid?
No, you guys never saw that? It was like
they do have Meth Gator situations, though.
Really?
Yeah, but what I remember seeing that. Someone was, like, in a house trapped and the gator, like, it's like a horror movie. But
that's what the preview was. Mm. I guess no one saw that movie.
Mm-hmm. You ever see the one where the two people are swimming out in the ocean and they're just trying to stay alive?
Yes, it's called, oh my gosh, they're on a boat
like
together.
Deep Mandy Moore?
No.
That's called A Walk to Remember.
It's called Survival, something like
it's
that.
Like Open Water.
Open Water. Dude, that movie is
where
awesome.
They're like, Mike, you know about this movie?
I don't think I've seen it though.
Oh, you have to watch it.
I've not seen it. I will not watch it.
What do you mean? You haven't seen it?
No, God, no. I'm not watching that. That's horror.
Dude, this was one where like I was just, you know, going through the channels and it came on and I watched it. I'm like, this movie was amazing.
So they were like They fell off a boat or tossed off a boat or the shipwreck.
It's just a couple, young couple in their 20s or maybe early 30s, but they go off on a voyage in a sailboat and, yeah, big storm comes in.
They're stuck in the water. They have nothing to float on, and it's just them trying to survive.
Oh, that sounds crazy.
That sounds crazy. Like, I don't like that. Uh-uh. That gives me anxiety just thinking about it. What's the review on that?
Let's see.
And, Eddie, your movie is called Crawl, the one with the alligators.
Crawl.
It's got 3 out of 5 stars.
Not bad.
That's better than I thought it was going to be.
Not bad.
What did they give Mike's movie on the...
Let me check.
Cocaine Bear?
Open Water has a 71%.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
71%.
That's like real life horror. That's like, you know, Freddy Krueger's not going to come in your dream and kill you. You might actually fall off a boat, though, and have to swim in
it. Open Water,
Cocaine
I think,
Bear
was
is
a
also
true story.
71.
What, Mike?
Cocaine Bear is also 71%.
See?
But,
Cocaine and Open Water.
That's the next movie. Mm-hmm.
What, Amy?
Well, I think the user, it says 87% liked.
Well, Cocaine thank you, Mike, for your review.
Thank you.
Check out Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. What are you guys talking about this week, Mike, over there?
Did a roundup of everything I saw in February and rated it what you should watch and what you should avoid.
Do you feel the pressure of watching movies now?
Yeah.
Like, are you burnt out on watching movies?
No, I still love it, especially in the theater. Sometimes at home, I'm like, okay, I got to watch this movie. But I still enjoy it.
It doesn't matter what it is. If it's your job, eventually you get tired of it.
Yeah.
Even if it's great. Even if it was eating filet mignon all day with cheesecake. Eventually you'd be like, oh, I can't do it. There's so much of it.
This is a really good month of movies, though, coming out. You got Creed, John Wick. New Scream movie.
And John Wick. I cannot wait. Those movies are awesome.
You love
great.
Those.
It's basically Cocaine Bear, but with the guy from Bill and Ted. It's just a lot of violence and fights.
Does Mike get the movies for free now, just since you're like a reviewer?
I get invited to screenings, but they're always during the week or at like 3 p.m.
You're getting no perks really yet.
Tax write-offs.
I mean, I could write off my subscription.
Yeah. Anytime you rent one on your home TV.
To what?
Tax write-off.
No, your subscription to what?
The movie theater.
The movie theater.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. Thank
and
you,
Crawl. Wow. Crawl. Critics give it 84% and audience give it 75%. That is unreal.
Yeah. And
never even heard of it.
Uh-huh.
A boy that snuck into a shipping container winds up in another country. Which these stories are always scary because how cold or the pressure inside some of those places those containers go where you could easily die.
Yeah.
Like sometimes they just put... Sometimes if you're just traveling with your animal and you have to put them underneath, sometimes the animals die.
Yeah.
Because it gets too cold or it gets... So I can't imagine the difference in a place where they just put shipping containers. But the boy whose game of hide and seek went very wrong has been reunited with his family.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So the whole situation was he came across an empty shipping container. Then he fell asleep. And then it was a 6-day journey. And he's alive. But the container left the country on January 11th. From Bangladesh and didn't arrive in Malaysia until January 17th. He was trapped in there, no food, no water.
Wow.
He wasn't discovered until a member of the staff heard knocking noises. I'm surprised he had energy to knock after no food and water after that long. After a visit to the hospital, he's in stable condition. He's been now reunited with his family. From Lad
That's
Bible.
So
what a
crazy.
Nightmare.
Well, he won.
Yeah, hide and seek.
Won the game? Yeah, he hit really well.
Hey, give him whatever you do. Award him. Give him his ribbon. So I was going to talk about this because it's become the news now, and I know somebody on the show is close to the guy. Hey, Scuba, do you care if we talk about the JV stuff?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
So I saw randomly on the internet over the weekend that there's a guy. Does he still work, or did he still work at 94.9?
Yeah, so he was on and off over the last couple of years with his disease, but he's currently still on the air, yeah.
And what shift was he doing?
He's morning drive.
So Wild 94.9 host JV reported missing in San Francisco. So what can you tell us about this, Scuba?
So it's a lot, but I'll say the shorthand version of it. So he got Lyme disease a couple years ago, and most people you think, oh, whatever. But it affected him physically and mentally so much so that when I would talk to him, he's like, I don't know how much longer I can go on with this, with the way that he's feeling from the Lyme disease. So he was out of work for a while, came back out of work. Some personal things happened that I won't get into on air. Then he finally came back and everything was fine. And then I talked to him in November and we were talking about some stuff and laughing. And he's like, I got to go. It's you and I talking. It's making me hurt. It's good. But I'm in so much pain. Thank you for the call. I needed that. And he just kind of gave me some little hints that he may not be moving forward with his life. And then so on Thursday evening, he left his house around 10 p.m. to go for a walk or whatever he did. He lives in a pretty high populated area, but 4 hours later, he started altering his social media, and someone that I know him very well, and he loves his phone and loves social media, And I always kind of felt like in a twisted way, if he were to go, he would use that as like Easter egg nuggets to kind of like put out some clues. So one of the first things he did was he changed his location on Twitter to the other side instead of in the studio.
It used to be in the studio?
It used to be in the studio, and then he changed it to the other side. And then he put a link on both his Instagram and his Twitter account of somebody's daughter who took their life from Lyme disease. So I kind of think he's putting that out there if this is what's happening. And then he changed one of his posts on Instagram to talk about everything in past tense, about this journey was great. Thank you for being there. Thank you for this wonderful life. So the hopeful side of me is that he just got disoriented. He's lost. We need to find him, bring him back home. But the truth in me is I think he took his life, and now we need to just find him to get closure for his family.
And they still haven't found him. Even still as of right now, it's after 10 o'clock on Monday. When did it first come out that they were looking? Because, again, it was a news story that I saw.
Yeah, so it came out Friday. They were talking about it in the news locally in San Francisco, and then it became more of a national story over the weekend. And I even texted him, not even getting into what this was. I just texted him saying, hey, dude, been thinking about you. I love you. Hit me up if you ever need anything. And it always would go to iMessage, which he has an iPhone. It always would go through, and it went to text message. And I was like, oh.
Like you mean blue. It was blue.
It was always
but
blue.
This time it was green.
It was green. Always blue. And this time it was green. And I was like, oh, no, his phone's off. And he's the kind of person like you where his phone's never off. It's fully charged. He's constantly on it. And so all these signs are pointing to the unfortunate, which has got me absolutely sick to my stomach. And all I can think about is him and his wife and his everything. Sorry. I know it's stupid, but
it's not.
No, it's not stupid at all.
No.
I knew you knew him. And that they haven't heard from him since Thursday or Friday of last week, that's significant.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Has he ever just gone missing for days and come back?
I mean, way back in the day, because he's like an OG radio guy from the 90s, like in Benders, like he would, you know, do drugs or whatever and probably be out for a while. But ever since he's cleaned his life up, he's been straight at work every day. He's never gone missing. Him and his wife, Natasha, are like two peas in a pod. She knows everything. He knows everything. So for him to be missing and for her to not know, something's definitely off and something wrong.
Any chance that he's just in a bad place and also was like, I'm going to change this stuff because people will know I'll change it and they'll think that I killed myself. And I don't know. I just try to think of the different ways people could fill, you know, with like, they feel like they're missing love or attention, or that's a way to do it. But you don't think that's the case.
I don't think so. The last time I talked to him, he was in so much pain. And for someone who loved what he did, he loved his career, loved his wife, loved everything about it. And for him to be like, man, I'm in so much pain, I don't know how much longer I can do this. Because he'd been dealing with it for almost 2 years of this Lyme disease and everything that came with it. So I'm just, I don't know.
Well, we're hoping for the best. If you hear anything, let us know.
Yeah,
I know,
of course.
Sue and I were talking about it this weekend. I was just like, hey, what's happening here? Like, I saw this, and then this morning it was in the news a little more, so I put it as a note to bring up here. All right, let us know, Scuba, if anything changes.
Yeah, I got you.
Did you guys see Jimmy Allen say he's leaving Nashville?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Like, moving out. Well, first, everybody thought he was saying goodbye, because he did it a little dramatically. But everybody was like, are you leaving country music? And he's like, nah, I'm moving to Florida.
Yeah, I'm just relocated.
Yeah, I'm just going to move to Florida. He's just going to move my house. No. So, you know, I don't know what this means, but he wrote on his Twitter that, dear Nashville, I came to you in 2007 chasing the music dream. Thank you for the memories we made over the years. It's time to move on, but I'll be back to visit for sure. Take care. That feels like he's saying I quit country music. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Listen, I love a little drama too. But he said he's going to move to Florida, which is fine. I mean, nobody knows the difference. As long as you're here to do some of the here stuff, because there are like buildings and managers and record labels and
we know country artists live in Florida now, and they still
Justin Moore lives in Arkansas.
Yep.
Forever, Zach Brown lived in Georgia. Forever, it doesn't anymore. But Darius lived in South Carolina.
Blake
in California/Oklahoma. It absolutely can be done. And Jimmy's probably at that stage now.
Oh.
Yeah, Garth. But Garth owns.
Garth
can do what he wants. So
George, Texas.
It does make me wish I at times lived somewhere that was warmer. Like I would like to just.
You want to go to Florida?
I just want to move for like 3 months.
In the winter?
December, January, February. And then come back March.
Hmm.
Are those like the snowbirds?
Yeah. Older people
I hate
do.
It. I hate it. I hate everything about winter. I hate everything about cold. I had some friends that went skiing over the weekend. And they're like, sorry. I was like, sorry. That sounds miserable. That would be terrible. go out and purposefully do something fun in the snow, in the cold? Of all the things you get to choose to do, you're going to choose to do something in the cold, in the snow? Terrible. Hate it. But good for Jimmy. Jimmy's moving to Florida, apparently. But you're gone so much anyways, it isn't. You know, there's no difference. I watched a little bit of the first episode on Netflix of the Murdaugh murders.
Murdaugh.
Yeah. Murdaugh.
It looks like.
I think it's Murdaugh.
Well, I when I Googled it, because I was like, "What? How do you say it? I think it's pronounced like Murdaugh.
You might want to ask Ray. He's an expert.
Yeah, he's the expert.
Ray.
YOLO. It's Alec Murdaugh.
There you go.
Okay, so the Murdaugh murders.
Murdaugh.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about him except the very brief story we tell on the show in the news. Guy kills his wife and his kid, right? And then we were like, dang. And then Kayla's like, let's watch this. Let's get it on Netflix. I fell asleep in the middle of the first episode because I was just tired. Rough week last week, trying to catch back up. And I saw they're on a boat and somebody died. And then he's like a high-powered attorney. But Amy, I'm going to need you to fill me in because she's now two or three episodes in.
Okay.
And I don't have interest in catching up. So I just need you to tell me what's going on. Because I see TikTok all the time, him doing like depositions and him being
interviewed. The trial's been going on now, but the boat accident happened in 2019.
So that's not a deposition. He's actually testifying from what I
saw. Oh, yeah. Charged.
And it's pretty wild because, yes, their family was very prominent. Like, he was a lawyer. His dad's dad, like great-grandfather or something started this law firm, and they kind of have ruled this part of town. They get away with a lot. Well, their son was driving the boat that caused the accident that killed a girl. And
Do we know that for sure?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Or is it 100%, but still, for some reason, the Chrisleys are going to come out and be like, it's 100%, but not really.
Yeah. I know, it's 100%.
Okay. It's 100%.
It's not Chrisley 100%. It's real life 100%.
And so he immediately showed up at the hospital like that night of the accident, was already, you know, trying to manipulate the situation and
Who's
say
he,
this,
the dad?
The dad. Like the that another kid was driving. Mm-hmm. Like he's a master manipulator. And that's how quickly he would go into action. And so it seems those kids just got away with a lot growing up and they had a lot of privilege. And so it snowballed from there. So then his son has to go to court, does all this stuff. And then there was rumors that his wife was going to like leave him and he has an opioid addiction. So
the son or the
dad? Okay. Sorry. The dad has an opioid addiction. And so he's stealing money from the law firm, like swindling from clients, like getting big settlements, but they're never seeing a dime. And he's keeping it all, but he's spending it on drugs and whatnot. Dang. Or opioids. And then all of a sudden he kills,
he's on trial?
Mm-hmm, his wife and his son are shot on their property. And he calls 911. He's like, my wife, they're shot. Da, 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 da. And he has this whole fabricated story about how he was away at a certain time. But what's crazy is like his son, all these kids were into Snapchat. And like at a timestamp where he said he wasn't there, like his son was actually on Snapchat and you can hear his voice in the background. And I'm like, dang, social media, I get you every time. So he's just caught in this web of lies, which that's what he says on the stand. He's admitting to all the lies he told. And he's like, the tangled webs we weave.
Is he representing himself?
No.
No,
he's high power.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, these guys know a lot too, but what's crazy is there was a housekeeper that also died on their property and that case was closed. Well, because of all this other stuff, they're like, So they go back and look into that and realize, well, maybe she tripped and fell over the dogs and hit her head and died. But like now.
That was the story?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There were a lot of deaths that were happening.
Mm-hmm. And people are just looking the other way because of who he was.
And no one even thought twice about it. But now they're just like going back and being like, wait a second. There were relationships between these two people. Mm-hmm.
There's another kid that died on the side of the road that was like gay and maybe had a relationship with his other son, and then that kid was just randomly murdered.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's like, but all that
but
stuff.
But how do you know all this from the documentary?
Yeah, and there's another thing on Hulu and then news articles.
Yeah, and so, like, the reason the son allegedly that he killed his son is because the family of the girl that the trial was about to start, the son was going to go on trial. The family asked for $1 million and there was going to be no trial. But he didn't have $1 million because he'd been stealing from the law firm. So he was in financial crisis. So if his son goes away, the $1 million goes away, the trial goes away, and he can get away with it. And I guess his wife is just collateral damage because she's out there, kills her. Then he hires someone to shoot him on the side of the road while he's changing a flat tire.
I remember that, talking about that on
and
the show.
The hit didn't work.
But not to kill him, just to maim him, like to hurt him?
I think it was to kill him, and then his other son,
Buster,
would get the inheritance.
Yeah.
and it didn't
work.
He
hired a bad hitman?
Yes.
Yeah, because he shot him in the head.
Did it hit him in the head?
It hit him in the head, but it didn't kill him.
And he was able to call 911 after it happened.
Yes. I think he regrets it. Oh, God, dang.
And so it's just all this, and then they start digging into it, and he's addicted to opioids and all the financial crisis. It shows him swindling money. Unreal. And, like, the kids, teenagers are like, oh, yeah, we go over there, 15, 16-year-old. We get drunk. We had all the alcohol we wanted. We could spend the night there. And it shows him on a boat with teenagers getting jello shots from the teenagers out of syringes. It is wild.
Yeah, Any chance he gets off?
Ray thinks it's going to be a hung jury.
Why?
Yeah, it'll be a hung jury because it's the state's job to prove that he's guilty. And
beyond
there's just
reason.
Some stuff. Yeah, it's tough. Some of the timestamps, it's a little tough to prove those exact moments. So I believe it just takes one juror and it's hung. But because of the financial crimes, he'll be in the jail for the rest of his life.
Wait, but I don't understand what about it would hang it, the jury. Like, what have you seen one or two things that you're like, he can really just dial in on this?
Because his exact death, they're saying the person that went there and checked to see if the people were dead, checked their armpits. Which, so that doesn't even give you an exact time of death.
Well, I don't understand what that means.
I don't either.
Like saying...
They checked their armpits.
Yeah, for their time of death when that's not accurate.
And then also, I mean, all his lawyer friends, he had 15 to 20 lawyer friends that were on the scene 20 minutes after the murders happened. So a lot of the evidence and stuff was trampled all over. Mm-hmm. They had no tire marks. They had nothing.
That's
because
the
these
thing.
People own the Lowcountry. They knew the coroners. They were the solicitors. He had blue lights on his car. He had a cop badge. So any scene...
He had a cop badge?
Yeah, any scene, he would go on to it, and he'd be one of the first people to look at all the stuff because he was a solicitor. Dad was.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it, like honorary badge or something.
And they've been running that part of the state for generations.
The Lowcountry is what they call it.
Well, yeah, we're on the Lowcountry, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, hello, because, I mean...
Well, hello.
Then they know.
they I just feel so bad for some of the teens that they're, you know, at 19, 20, 21, like, their lives were completely altered because of all of this. And it's, like, the one traumatic thing of losing their friend, and then this whole thing unravels. It's wild. It just goes to show sometimes the power you can have with money and friends, because yeah, his friends would cover things up and like not do things right. And there was no autopsy on the woman that fell and hit her head and died, the housekeeper.
That's wild.
Right, but he could make phone calls and then voila, things would just disappear.
I watched on TikTok where he was talking to his son from jail and he said, hey, maybe you guys can shed some light on this. He's like, do you wanna go hunt on the property, deer hunt? And he's like, no. He goes, what about pheasant hunt? He goes, you mind if I send the lawyer he can pheasant hunt. And I don't understand what's happening, but it sounded like two mobsters talking in code.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that by any chance?
Yeah, and the son, Buster Ray, can touch on it, says, no, Dad, I'm never going back there again. Mom and brother were killed there. I think he wanted people to go out there and hunt, so that way there's more DNA. There's more, like, people trampling through there. So it's like, well, that place is contaminated. You can't say that it was only me that was there. That's my theory on it.
Ray, you're pretty knowledgeable about all this, and not that you're not knowledgeable about other things, but
he watches the live.
Well, because the trial's going on right now. It's live. It's been going on for a month and a half.
So then what's happening right now in the trial? Where are they?
Well, he went on the stand last Thursday and Friday.
Was that did they think he wouldn't go on the stand?
No, but a lot of people towards the end said he's so vain and narcissistic that he thinks he's the biggest manipulator in the world and that he'll be able to convince people. So that's what he did. He went and got on the stand.
Is he winning?
I thought he was good. I mean, dang, dude, you talk about not answering questions with talking. I mean, he didn't answer anything, and he'd be like, I don't know exactly what you mean. He would just basically rephrase their question, answer it with how he wanted to say it, and then just totally make the defense look stupid. It was pretty good.
Was he a good lawyer?
Supposedly, yeah.
Meaning, he has, like great lawyers that are trying to take him down.
He made huge, he won huge settlements for his clients. I mean, he would.
So he knows.
How to.
He knows the game. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play the game back. And are the lawyers that are against him as good.
And it only takes one, like Ray said, one juror. And Ray sits there in the comments and watches, and people are like, I mean, he did commit financial crimes, but you can't convict him of murder. And there's all these people like, oh, he's definitely guilty. He's like, see, look at all these opinions that are, he's not guilty. So it just takes one person in that box to say, you know what? Or one person that is in his circle without you knowing it is on the jury.
Well, now we're getting into...
But he owns the Lowcountry. He owns that area.
But they didn't ask for a change of venue.
Yeah, where is this happening, Ray?
I think it's a county beside it.
Oh,
that's not the same county.
Here's the thing. Well, there's some good old boys. When they were Dukes of Hazzard, they crossed the county line. Couldn't do anything about it.
No, they couldn't. That's when
they
stopped.
They jumped county line, and the cop be like, God dang it. We can't even enforce the law now.
Roscoe couldn't cross.
So that's it. So I've been there. I've seen it. What were you saying?
Well, he said some of the lies, another defense for his lies, were his opioid addiction would cause him such paranoia that he would start making up all these scenarios in his head so that he felt like things were happening when they weren't happening. And so then, you know, creating this like, oh, I'm only addicted because I had my pain and football injuries from back in the day. And I'm like, okay, Uncle Rico, like.
Do you believe him at all?
I don't.
Or do you think he's a full liar?
No,
100%?
I am looking at him as a psychopath. So I don't, everything, when he starts crying on stage, I'm like, okay. Like, I feel like he's doing everything he can to possibly get himself off and he knows what to do. And it's calculated, the whole thing.
Do you think he killed him?
Either he did or he had it done.
Crazy he knew how to hire a hitman to try to put one hit on himself.
I think that was one of his
employees. Yeah, it was one of his employees.
That's crazy.
And yeah, and Ray said that he got land from a drug dealer for $5. It has a airstrip, and they used to joke about, yeah, we use that for prostitutes and drugs.
But they did.
Did he do it? Ray, is he guilty of everything?
Yeah.
Eddie?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Totally. Oh, I think so, 100%.
Dang. Do you know how many situations, like this could be happening 8 other places, and then we never find out, and they just run. They just run the place. I mean, it is. It's happening. Is. All I mean,
these guys were covering up everything.
Well, it's just like that. The God forbid the president of the university. What university?
Liberty.
Liberty. Oh, Liberty. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! It's like you watch that documentary, you're just like,
I didn't watch the documentary, and the story's crazy.
What's it about?
I don't know, but it's Falwell. It's Falwell Jr. Jerry Falwell Jr. Right?
Yes. Correct. Amy, it's the president of this very conservative university, Liberty University. Him and his wife are in Florida at the pool, and they meet a pool boy, and he becomes the lover for the wife.
So, and he watches?
And he watches, and he goes on family vacations with him. He goes to kids' birthday parties.
For a long time.
And I mean, the kids started making T-shirts on the vacations, wears whatever her name was. I forgot her name. And she was off with the pool boy, and the dad's job was to entertain the kids while they went and did their thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and what? But he was also running this massive conservative Christian university.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's not
he's
good.
He's also,
but
there's some other, it's a crazy.
It's crazy.
I'm not going to get into the political stuff too, because he owed Trump a favor. And so he got a bunch of pastors together to like vouch that Trump was a Christian. It's that there's a whole situation there.
It is wild. And Amy, just imagine at the wedding, this guy, this pool boy goes to the kid's wedding and is like
there. The boy's part of the family.
He was part of the family.
And they thought they phrased it as, oh, we're just helping someone out. You know, it's great. It's God's thing to help people that are less fortunate than us. And so how do you reconcile with your kids after that comes out? Like, oh, well, we were really just hooking up.
Well, I think once a kid gets older, they're like, oh, you're just hooking up. I understand. Now that I'm older.
Oh, okay.
Now that I'm older, I get it. A couple more things before we jump. An emergency landing after a woman charges the cockpit after being denied a drink from Jacksonville to D.C. You know, there was that movie at one point, I think it was called like Vanilla Sky, where I think that's
Tom
the one.
Cruise?
Yeah,
where they predicted when people were about to do crimes, so they would go and arrest them beforehand.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. We should do this with airplanes. Just, if a nutty person's on an airplane, and we've looked at their social media, and you're nuts, we can go and hold you for a little bit.
Sorry
Make sure you're
that.
Sober. You know, we're not arresting you, but we're just doing a little preemptive strike here. So you're about to get on this plane, right? Okay, so cool. We're going to put you in this room for 3 hours. Make sure you're completely sober. Because of A, B, C, D, and we call it the Vanilla Sky, and we don't say anything about it.
That's good stuff.
Because there's no need for an airplane to have to go down and have to land because some idiot charges the cockpit. You are now forever an idiot and should never be allowed on an airplane again. Unless it's like some medicine you're on. Like, and then prove it. Prove you're on some medicine that did this. And if you are and your doctor says cool, then I totally get it. But if you're just nuts or drunk or angry... An American Airlines flight traveling from Jacksonville to D.C. was forced to make an emergency stop in North Carolina. Unruly passenger. One was upset because she couldn't get a cocktail. She thought the best way to do it was to angrily rush the cockpit and tell the pilots.
Cockpit looking for a cocktail.
Yeah, that's true.
Insiders say the plane's cockpit was never breached, but the unnamed woman still made a run for it before she was subdued. Yahoo News. No more flying for you. The end. Case dismissed.
Hope you like driving.
You're not even allowed to jump more than the foot. That's too high in the air for you. Stairs, you need a voucher. I need to know how many stairs you want to go up. We're keeping you on the ground because you are out of your mind. That's what I would do right there. Selena Gomez dethroned Kylie Jenner to become the most followed woman on Instagram. But due to some recent drama with Hailey Bieber, she's taken a social media break. You know, my TikTok kind of fed me this story for a little bit. And I don't really, I skipped out of it. I didn't finish watching it. So apparently, Selena Gomez was doing it. Okay, let me try to remember what it is. I think I might have watched it all now that I say that. I think in my mind I flipped out of it, but I didn't. I think what had happened was there was an old video of Hailey Bieber on that show, Drop the Mic, and or Selena, and then it turned, then la la la, they got in a big fight again. It comes back up. I'm getting off social media. I think that's what it was. Okay. Mike, do you know what the drama was? Yeah, I know. Now that I say I flipped out, I did, and I watched the whole thing, but I don't remember fully because it'd be pretty cool to be the most followed person on Instagram.
That would be awesome.
A lot of pressure.
No, man. She's on a break, and she's the most followed. That's great.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I need that.
That'd be awesome. All right. And then I think I have one more thing I'll mention. Raimundo says he's going to retaliate for not getting a Nashville soccer jersey. You still don't have yours?
No, I think it's kind of just gotten pushed aside, unfortunately.
Well, if we all got one. You should get one.
Right, but the email chain died.
I'm sure we can get you one if you still don't have one.
The players were wearing the black jerseys this last game.
But are they done? Is that it? Just that one game?
I have no idea if it's just a one-game jersey.
Still, the guy would like a jersey.
It's an awesome jersey, dude. I wore it, and it was awesome.
What are you going to do to retaliate?
I'm going to bet against the Nashville Soccer Club every game that they play in hopes that they're similar to last season, and I'll win money then. But I'm going to root against them every game.
So you're going to retaliate by rooting.
And betting against them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his bets are always wrong, so in a weird way, that's kind of like rooting for them.
What you would do is you should bet for them. That'll curse them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm hitting like 65%, so that's not factual, Eddie.
I want proof.
Good for you, buddy.
They post it every day on Twitter.
You do?
Sore Losers Locks.
Dad, why would we believe that?
His buddy.
I mean, he keeps a grid of all of our predictions. Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you. You'll show them.
Yeah.
You'll do something they'll never feel the effect of either way.
Wow, man.
We should just get you a jersey. Yeah. Right. Do you want one?
You were supposed to have one in the first place.
And I kept looking for number 23, seeing if one of the players was wearing it.
Well, all of us were given 23 because of the year.
I know.
But you know what I did? I did my football number, like Lunchbox said, on my Preds jersey. Did you see a picture I posted on Instagram over the weekend?
No. What's your number?
My story. So, first of all, the Preds, the hockey team here in Nashville, NHL, they were like, hey, let's do this thing together. And I'm like, cool. So I say, sure, we'll do the thing. I go up, and it's basically, you know how in-house, I think they've got a few country stars and myself to be like, let's go. They show us up on the screen, and they're like, goodbye, bye. So I felt like I was doing a wrestling. Like
so
promo.
You're getting the crowd hype.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I was doing like 20 different things, right? And it's like, so I'm just yelling, yeah, la, la. And then they give me a jersey to put on. But they were like, what number? They asked me like the day before. And then Lunchbox had told me, you should do your football number. Yeah. But I never have a number except one. And I was like, Lunchbox, that's so stupid. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I did it. So it's a big Preds jersey. It's 89. Bobby on the back of it. So I think tomorrow night at the Preds game, I'm like the person who gets the crowd hype or something. I don't know. When I left, though, my voice was
worse. You're doing the intro video.
No, a lot of videos.
They
may use it all year, too. I think Lainey Wilson and John Party both did one, and then I did one, and I think somebody else is doing it.
It probably feels awkward doing it, dude, but while you're there, though, it's awesome.
The intro video is part of it, though.
Yes, because I'm hoping you're better. I saw Daryl Waltrip do it.
Yeah, but he's old.
And it was like, we go fat. And I was like, guys, just stop it. Like, you know this is not getting the crowd hype. It's putting us asleep. Mm. And then they had a coach from like Western Kentucky University,
Hilltoppers,
and he was like, you could tell he didn't feel comfortable and he wasn't natural at getting. He was just like, yeah, bring the energy, and it was like he was reading the prompter and it was like so slow, and it was just like, this is not like if you're this is how you talk to your football team, man, like.
He's the football coach.
I think. I don't know, but I wasn't running through a wall for him.
Did you do it faster than that, Bones?
I think so. I'm telling you, I was there for a long time, and I did do an intro as well where the Preds, why they're the Predators, I didn't know this. They found a bunch of Predator bones on a mountain.
Sabretooth.
Yeah. And the reason they don't talk about just the bones, because they also found a bunch of human bones too, where the Sabretooth eat
really?
Humans. Yeah. And so, but they were like alluding to my last name being Bones, and the bones they found is why they're called the Predators. Yeah. So I did a whole intro thing and then like 50 other videos for, I guess, the whole year. 3 minutes left.
Let's go.
2 minutes. You know, all that stuff.
That's legit.
I think so. I felt stupid doing it.
But it wasn't 2 minutes left.
Well, they were like, be the opposite of Jerry Waltrip. Was it?
Daryl Waltrip. It was, I mean.
They didn't say that.
He was like, we go fast.
He's a race car driver.
On the
Scuba, we do have another NASCAR driver coming on, don't we?
Yes, the guy who won the Daytona 500.
Stenhouse
Jr., yeah. He's pretty legit.
You know, here's the thing. I don't know much about NASCAR. I'll be honest with you.
It's fun. I won a bet last night, yesterday.
On what?
Kyle Busch. He won.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I go to my kids. I'm like, all right, pick five drivers. We'll do $2 on everyone. Because the odds
are
great.
And then it gives you a reason to watch and, like, root.
Of course.
So how much did you win?
I bet $2 to win $22.
Nice. That's a big bet, then.
It's an awesome bet.
Well, it sounds like you bet $10.
Yeah, so you won 12 bucks.
But still, that's rare.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I won money.
You won over 100% of your, yes.
Thank you.
You don't look at it as you won $12. You
he
look
does.
At it, no. You look at it based on what unit you play. If your unit is a nickel a unit and you make 40 cents, that's crazy winning.
Thank you, man.
Same thing if your unit was $1,000 and you win $22,000. It's all based on the
I'll
unit
take the 22,000.
That you bet. So, no, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really
if
cool.
If I bet $100, I went $240. That's massive.
And it came down to the end, too. Like, you know, Kyle Busch was in second for a long time, and then finally he takes the lead. But he said it was so stressful. He's like, because once you have that lead, you're like, you have to maintain it. And he said his hands were hurting because he was gripping so tight just trying to finish those last five laps. Mm. It was amazing.
Well, congrats on your big win there, buddy.
Thank you, dude.
All right, we're done. I think that's everything, right, Mike?
We're good.
Okay, we're good.
Okay, I'm officially going to watch God Forbid. That's the name of the
Yeah, good
Jerry.
Luck with that one. Though.
Just look it up.
That's a lot.
It just makes you go, where else is this happening? Who else is being taken advantage of?
100%.
And what? It sucks.
I hadn't even heard of this.
Yeah, it sucks. All right, that's it. Thank you, guys. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the Nosabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.